Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Our text for today's message comes from the Old Testament reading of Daniel, as you heard a few moments ago. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, how many of you have ever stood up for something you believed in? You don't have to raise your hand, but just, you know, think about that for a moment. How many of you have ever stood up for something that you believed in? Now, sometimes we think about the things that we actually stand up for are the things that set us apart from other people, because we end up going against the majority. And maybe sometimes the things that we stand up for are maybe not the most popular opinion out there. And maybe sometimes the things that we stand up for may even be viewed as silly. Like, for example, how do you classify a hot dog? Is it a sandwich? Is it a taco? Is it something else completely? And while we're on the topic of hot dogs, it's good, fair enough. While we're on the topics of hot dogs, if tomatoes or tomatoes are technically a fruit, then would that make ketchup a jam? Think about it. And if a hot dog is a sandwich, then would cereal and milk be classified as a soup? Or maybe you feel that something like socks and sandals is a fashion statement, whereas others might view it as a fashion faux pas. It's a big no-no. All right, then there are those that maybe are a little less silly and super important for you to get right. For example, whether or not the toilet paper roll goes over or under. All right. It is over, and I will fight you to the death on that. That is a hill I'm willing to die on. And really, that's the question that we start out with today. What are you willing to die for? Because sometimes the things that we stand up for that are not the most popular opinion are not silly, but they are actually super important to your life. But just how important are they to your life? We see that in the story of the fiery furnace. Now, this is when the Israelites had been conquered by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, who destroyed the temple of Jerusalem in 587 BC. So this is before the time of Ezra and Nehemiah that we heard from way back. Now, during this time, many of the royal family, those of nobility, the young, the good-looking, wise people, were brought to Babylon to be educated. Among them were Daniel and his three friends. What's interesting to note about this story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is that those aren't their real names. Those are the names that they were given under exile of the Babylonians. Or Chaldeans, some people. Same people are called Babylonians, Chaldeans, just more ancient name. But we don't ever refer to them as their original names, which is Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Yet, we know Daniel as Daniel, his original name, not as Belteshazzar. So the story goes as you heard. And as you may know, one of the more famous stories of the Bible. We're going to call him King Nebi from now on, all right? So King Nebi built this golden image and commands everyone to fall down and worship it at the sound of all of these musical instruments. And if you don't, you'll be thrown into the fiery furnace. Of course, there are some tattletales in the kingdom who tell King Nebi that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are not doing it. And so the king calls them out on it. He lays it out very clearly for these three. When you hear the sounds of the music, bow down and worship. And if so, great, and all will be well with you. But if you do not, if you go rogue, if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? And this is where you get to the moment for these three of, what are you willing to die for? We're not talking about toilet paper opinions anymore. We're talking about golden images and fiery furnaces. And really, for the people of Israel, this is first commandment stuff. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. And you certainly shouldn't worship that carved image. Remember how the golden calf turned out? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do not hesitate at all. They haven't worshiped it yet. They don't need to wait for the music. They're not doing it. Why? Because their God, whom they serve, they say, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O King. In other words, we will show you who our God is. You don't scare us. We fear the Lord, the one true God. And they say, even if our God does not deliver us from the fire, we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. This, of course, made Nebi super happy, who then heated the furnace 7 times hotter than normal. And it was so hot that the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who then fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. Now, one thing I've noticed in reading this story again, that I never thought about it, it says that actually that they fall into the fiery furnace, which had me thinking. We often picture, like, you know, the furnace is having this door on it, and the door just opens, and they just are kind of shoved in there. When really, the door would have been more used for taking things out of, not putting things in. So they were most likely dropped in through the top hole of the furnace. And of course, we have this image of not just three of them in there, but there is a fourth as well. And we know that they're going to come out unharmed. We already heard it. They're not even going to smell a fire. And I'm wondering if the fourth who's in there, we'll get to that one in a minute, but if the fourth who's in there actually catches them as they fall. Just think about that. I mean, it's not really important since, you know, they're fine no matter what. But as soon as they're thrown in there, Nebi sees the fourth person in there, realizes that the other three are not screaming, they're not dying, they're actually walking around unbound in the furnace together. And the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods. Now here is where we can ask ourselves another question that may be up for debate, and there may be a popular opinion. Who's the fourth? Nebi describes him like a son of the gods, and later he uses the word angel. So is the fourth an angel? I mean, is this like the angel Gabriel who tells the good news of the Savior's birth? Or, because Nebi wasn't a believer in the one true God, he didn't understand that this wasn't just a son of the gods, but that this, in fact, was the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus, before he is actually born, which we would call the pre-incarnate Christ. Now, in the end, it doesn't matter too much because Nebi will come to acknowledge, even believe in, right, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who is the one who saved them, and that there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way. And whether it's an angel or Jesus, God is still with them, and he still saves them from the fiery furnace. But what do you think? Show of hands, angel. How many of you think it's an angel? How many think it's Jesus? I didn't see any hands for the angel. All right, unanimous. I'll tell you what I think. I'll go with the majority. And that is Jesus. It's Jesus there in the fiery furnace. Why? Because of Palm Sunday. And even more, because of what Palm Sunday leads to. Today we celebrate Jesus entering into Jerusalem, a place where his whole life had been leading to. He will make his way to the temple that Nebi had destroyed, which has now been rebuilt. The Jews at this point are no longer in exile. They're certainly under Roman authority, though. And they were expecting the Messiah, the Savior, who is going to come and sit on David's throne and take back the kingdom. Jesus was the closest thing that anyone had ever seen that matched the description. And Jesus enters into Jerusalem riding on the donkey, which may seem odd, may seem not so significant, but it is, because it's reminiscent of Solomon, the son of David, who rides to be anointed as king, and he's riding on King David's mule. And Jesus is welcomed into Jerusalem with shouts of, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" Hosanna, which means, "Help us, please. Help us now. Save us." I mean, the people want this Son of David to save them, to help them. I mean, likely they're imagining this Savior, this Messiah, is going to come and sit on David's throne. He's going to take back the kingdom. He's going to conquer the Romans. And as we know, that's not Jesus. Jesus will not bow to the people's wishes. Jesus is going to stand up for what he believes in, because what he's standing up for is himself. As the Son of God, as true man and true God, he knows exactly who he is and what he is to do. He cannot deny himself. And so he's going to go from being welcomed into Jerusalem as king, as the Son of David, from shouts of Hosanna, and they're going to turn into shouts of crucify him. And he will do it all alone, because all of his disciples will flee. I mean, he even warned them that they would. He warned them that Peter would deny him. And Peter, of course, says, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. All right, Peter, you who confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, what do you think, Peter? What are you willing to die for? As you see Jesus arrested, beaten, put on trial, you, Peter, follow behind him. But when you get called out on knowing Jesus, will you confess him again? Will you confess that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Or will you say, "I don't know the man"? And will you say it once, or twice, or three times? I mean, I'd imagine that all of us can relate to Peter. We have those moments where we boldly confess the name of Jesus. "You are the Christ." And we have these moments where I'm like, "I don't know the man." And maybe it's not verbally denying, but maybe it's intentionally not bringing him up in discussion, conversation. Maybe you don't want to speak up because you're not confident in your ability to share your beliefs or defend them. Maybe you're afraid of getting rejected by your people, your friends, your family. Maybe you don't want to find out that you are, in fact, in the minority. Maybe you're kind of doubting everything that you believe in, and so you're like, well, is he the Christ? Do I know him? And the reason we have these struggles, like Peter, the reason that we doubt, the reason that we deny, the reason that we give in to temptation, is because we're sinners. I mean, all of us sin. All of us mess up. All of us find ourselves denying Christ when we choose to sin against him by not following his commands, which are intended for our good. All of us choose to go our own separate ways. We make our own decisions contrary to what God wants for us. And in that moment, we are bowing down and worshiping a golden image, a false god, because we have made ourselves God. And we have put other things as being more important than the one true God. So what is it for you? What are you giving up God for? What replaces him? And are you willing to die for that? When we choose the path of sin, the path of faithlessness, the path of idolatry, we don't deserve to be thrown into a fiery furnace. We deserve to be thrown into the fiery depths of hell. We deserve death, physical death, yes, but we also deserve eternal death. And there's nothing that we can do to save ourselves from sin and death. And so the cries in our lives are the same cries as Palm Sunday. Hosanna! Save us! Help us! Please! Now! And Jesus does. But not by becoming King of Israel. He does it by wearing a crown of thorns. He does it by being willing to die for what he believes in, for who he is, and in order to save his people, you and me, because he is the only one who can. He dies to bring us the forgiveness of our sins. He dies in order to rescue us from death by taking it for us. Why do I think that it was Jesus in the fiery furnace? Because it points to later in his life when he will suffer hell on the cross. And he will come out in the end with no smell of death on him. The fiery furnace also points us to Christ's descent into hell, where he once again shows his victory and power over death. Because it is in that moment, after he dies and descends into hell, that he has already defeated sin, death, and the devil once and for all. And he descends into hell, and hell has no power over him. And his resurrection from the dead proves that he is who he says he is. The Good Shepherd, the Christ, the Son of the living God, the great I Am, the Savior, the King whose kingdom is not of this world. And in the end, when it comes to something like your faith, if you're standing up for what you believe in regarding the life of Jesus, you're standing up for being a Christian. And that means you're standing up not just for what you believe in, but for who you believe in and for who you are. And you are a chosen child of God, called by name in the waters of baptism, washed clean of your sins in those same waters, marked with the sign of the cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart, marked as one redeemed by Christ the crucified one. You are clothed with Christ in your baptism, and the Holy Spirit is in you to help you lead that God-pleasing life of faith, to help you be willing to stand up for your faith in Christ, even if it means death. And the good news is, if you're faced with that, you're not doing it alone. Jesus will meet you in the fire. He will meet you in the storm. He will meet you in the flood. He will meet you in all the trials, the struggles, the suffering, the persecution. He will be with you in your life, and he will be with you in your death. He is with you always. And because he has saved you from the fiery furnace of hell, he will lead you into eternal life with him. even if you lose your life for his sake. The one who bore the crown of thorns for you will give you a crown of eternal life as he welcomes you home to heaven. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.